Must be nice to be able to get to stay home with your kids.
I always chuckle when I see that intro because I think to myself, I'll bet you that there's a whole bunch of stay-at-home moms that are going, must be nice to go to work and leave those kids. We're beginning a brand new series today called Perfect Parent and Other Myths. And as parents, those of you that have kids or maybe had kids, it's really easy to get overwhelmed, to get stressed out, to get to the point where you just are you just ready to like throw up your hands and walk out the door. And my hope and my challenge today to each of you is that you will take a time out. You'll take a deep breath to be able to do it. And so, as we begin this series, I think it's important to kind of understand the context, the reason behind it. You know, we get this idea as parents that there is there's a perfect parent out there. There's a perfect way to parent. There is this plan, and maybe you've gone, maybe you're pregnant with a child and you went to the bookstore and you decided to find a book on parenting. Literally, there can be books side by side that completely disagree with each other. You know, as the idea of how you're supposed to parent, and this is what you're supposed to do, and this is how you're supposed to handle it, and all these different things. And it's just crazy because we get this idea in our mind that there is somehow a perfect parent out here. And so we begin to stress ourselves out over whether or not we are doing the right thing, saying the right thing, walking the right way, disciplining the right way, all these different things. What made it worse is the advent or the beginning of social media. And you know, through Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all these other things, you see these snapshots, these moments frozen in time or in 15-second video increments of people's kids being perfect and wonderful. And you see these wonderful images of how wonderful these kids are. And literally, you may to yourself think, I'm going to show this to my kids and say, this is what you should be like. Because what we're doing is we're comparing these highlight moments of people's lives to the behind-the-scenes documentary that is our life. And we know what's going on. We know what's happening behind the scenes. We know all that stuff. And so now, not only do we have this idea, this mindset that there's a perfect way to parent out there, but now it's reinforced because we keep seeing all these perfect parents out there with their perfect, beautiful children, and they're wonderful and fantastic. And so the pressure begins to mount on us, and we begin to get even more overwhelmed. But it doesn't stop there, because we begin to hear things like, if you don't parent the right way, you'll ruin your children forever. If you don't do this, if you do that, if you let them watch TV, if they read the wrong, you know, book about pooping, and that's just for the rest of their life, they're going to be scarred. They're going to be in therapy sitting with their mom, you know, talking about their mom, how their mom scarred them because your mom woke up from a nap one time and actually said something to you that hurt your feelings, and now they're destroyed. And so now all of that stuff is on our shoulders as parents. It's no wonder that so many parents are stressed out and frazzled and fearful, because they don't want to screw their kids up. You know, those of you that are at home with kids, those of you that are at home that are kids, believe us, we don't want to screw you up. That's not our desire at all. We actually want to help you become, you know, adults that leave our home and find jobs and, you know, have kids of your own that you bring back for short visits occasionally. That's what we want. That's our goal. But we get so stressed out, and what happens is because we're constantly, especially if you have little kids, you're constantly engaged with them. There's never a break. It just gets worse and worse and worse, and you get overwhelmed, and you begin to say things that you would never normally say. You know, I wish that there would be somebody like, you know, that would just slip into our house quietly and record us on sometimes the things that we say to our kids in frustration and overwhelming. And then play it back for us later and be like, what a horrible parent that is. And they're like, that's you. Like, no, I would never tell my kid I'm going to kill them if they spill their milk one more time. I would never tell them that. But you realize that's your voice. You know, it's like you're sitting at the kitchen table and you've had a bad day and your son spills the milk and dad like grabs a shot and goes, that's it. You're done. Because you just get to this point where you get so overwhelmed as a parent that you make bad decisions and you say things that you shouldn't say and you do things that you shouldn't do and you do things that you wouldn't normally do. And so my whole challenge to you today, my whole hope for today is to encourage you to realize you don't have to be constantly engaged. You can take a break. In fact, today is talking about the myth that timeouts are just for kids. And I'll be honest with you, we really didn't do an awful lot of timeouts in our house. We did a little bit different style of parenting. If you want to know what that is, I'll let you know later. But occasionally we would do a timeout. But primarily, you know, timeouts are for a kid who's just like, you know, crazy, off the hook. You know, you just can't get him to sit still, which is funny. It's like, you can't sit still and behave, so here's your punishment. Sit still. And you wonder why they can't do it. But anyways, so this idea of a timeout, though, is essentially to remove a child from the things that are causing kind of the anxiety and the buildup and all the different things. Remove the child from that environment and set them in a place that's a little bit quieter and a little bit calmer so that they can calm down, so that you can have a reasonable conversation with them, to share with them how you know without a doubt that they were born sinful. And that you know, they have the devil in them, that you need to cast them out. And I'm kidding. I really do love kids. I had to say that the first service, I had people going, I don't think he likes kids. But it's true. If you have parents, if you are parents, you know there are days when you're like, man, we need to perform an exorcism here. I don't know what's going on, but this is bad thing. I see some of you that are pregnant. You're going, oh man, what did we get ourselves into? But there's these times where it just gets so overwhelming. And so what I want to do today, and the big idea is really simple, and if you miss everything else, please don't miss this. It is so simple, but it's so necessary as a parent for you to understand that sometimes the best thing that you can do is step away. Sometimes the best thing that you can do as a parent, the most parental thing that you can do, is to put the child down and step away, because you need some time to think, to be rational, to calm down, to be able to process what's happening so that you are making good, wise decisions and interactions with your child. Sometimes the best thing that you can do is to simply step away. Now, that's why we call it timeouts. And so my challenge to you, my hope is that if you have children in your home, my challenge to you would be at some point in time over the next week, determine and start taking timeouts. Give yourself a timeout. If you need to really look at yourself in the mirror and go, girlfriend, you need a timeout. You know, listen, boy, you need a timeout. Just do that, because you need to do that. And there are four different types of timeouts that we're going to talk about. But I would also challenge you know, those of you that are like, oh, we're grandparents, we don't have kids in the home. Or maybe, you know, you're married, you don't have kids yet. You're single, you don't have kids. You're like, oh, cool, I can check out. Now, there's a challenge for you too. Because look at the people around you that have kids. You see how stressed out they are? Seriously, on a regular basis. So my challenge to you is to actually listen to what's going on. First of all, this would be a great, you know, precursor if you're thinking about having kids, to probably wait a little bit longer to do that. But secondly, if you look at your friends, you know, listen, give them a timeout. Say, listen, I'll watch your kids for the night. If you have kids in your home and you're just going, listen, we'll watch your kids for you tonight. You're like, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to kill them tonight. This is fantastic. Can you keep them for two nights? That'd be even better. But you will be their savior. They will love you forever. And so my challenge to you is that if you don't have kids in your home, if you don't have people that you're responsible for kid-wise, I would challenge you to, for an evening or something like that, give another person, give another family a timeout, because that's what we're here for. We're here to help each other become all that we're called to be, and that includes being a parent. But sometimes the most important thing, the best thing you can do, is to step away. So there are four timeouts that every parent needs to give themselves. The first timeout is this: a timeout to calm down. A timeout to calm down. You ever thought to yourself, as you're getting like wired up, because usually you don't go from 0 to 10, right? It's like this, it's like when you start a lawnmower and you can hear it slow, it's like, and you can feel yourself getting there. That is when you need to go, you know what, I need a timeout, or I am going to explode all over you. So I love you, child, but walk away. Because that's what you need to do. You need to take that time out to calm down. And here's what's interesting. We often think anger is an evil thing. Anger is not an evil thing. Anger is simply an emotion. Where anger becomes wrong is when anger begins to take control. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. It says, and don't sin by letting anger what? Control you. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Now, you know the difference between being angry and being controlled by your anger, don't you? You can feel it. It's like in your mind, you're beginning to like, it's beginning to bubble up, and then all of a sudden something happens and you can feel that anger grab a hold of the steering wheel of your thoughts and your mouth and your actions, and you know it is on right now. And it's starting to take off. The Bible says, listen, that is the point in which your anger becomes sin. If you are now talking in anger, acting in anger, expressing anger in a fashion that is meant to hurt, now you have done something wrong. You have crossed that line and you have sinned. Are you ready for this? You have sinned against God, but you've also sinned against your child because you've allowed anger to control you in doing that. Now listen, as we're talking about this, I can just imagine you're sitting there going, oh man, I failed my child. Listen, they're pliable. They'll snap back. But here's the thing that you need to do. If this has happened, you need to confess and ask forgiveness of your child. I've had to do that as a dad. I remember when Georgia and Caitlin were younger and I would go into their bedroom and I'm like, listen, honey, I'm really sorry. Dad, you know, Dad snapped at you and I'm really sorry. And Georgia would be the funniest. She'd like grab my face and be like, it's okay, Dad. And I'm like, thanks, honey. Break my heart. I'll never do that again. I love you. Because it's just one of those things that we have to do as a parent, because you know what that says to our kids? We're not perfect. You don't have to be either. And it allows them to break that cycle of believing that there's this perfect parent myth out there. He continues. He said, do not sin by letting anger control you. And then he says, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Now, from a practical standpoint, in fact, Tracy and I, from the moment we got engaged and we began to talk about this, this verse was very applicable to us. Because listen, we said we are never going to go to bed angry at each other. And so we took it from a very practical standpoint, but I think from an application standpoint, it's even bigger than that. I don't think he's just talking about not going to bed while you're ticked off. I think he's talking bigger picture than that. I think he's saying, listen, do not stay angry for a long period of time. Because if you allow anger to stay in your life, whether it's from your job, from your marriage, from your family, from relationships, from circumstances, from things that are happening around you, whatever the case may be, if you hold on to anger, what happens is the hold that anger has on you will get stronger. And it will begin to bleed over, not just to the area that you're angry at or in. It'll begin to bleed over to your marriage. It'll bleed over to your parenting. It'll bleed over to your friendships. Because anger just gets a hold of who you are, and you turn from being who you are to an angry version of who you are. And if you've ever experienced it, and I'll be very honest with you, I have, that there are times that it's almost like an out-of-body experience. You say something and you react, and then 30 seconds later you're like, where did that come from? Anger had control. And as a parent, when you feel that begin to happen, you need to step away. You need to give yourself a time out to calm down, to be separated from your child. Because let's be honest, I don't know how in the world they do it. But these 3 and 4 year olds and 5 year olds, they are like psychiatrists. They know the button that they can push on you to get the response, don't they? They know. If you're a neat freak, they'll be like, I'm going to drop some shredded toilet paper over here and just watch mom blow up because it's going to be awesome. Listen, come here, sister. Let's watch this. This is, yeah, because they just know. And so you know what? Understanding that and realizing that, they need you as a parent to make the conscious choice to say, listen, I'm going to step away for a minute and I'm going to calm down because I refuse to allow anger to control me because I know that that will lead to bad things. So take a time out to calm down. Secondly, take a time out to rest. Take a time out to rest. Take a time out to calm down when you feel like you're getting angry. Take a time out to rest, shocker, when you're exhausted. When you're tired. I'm not going to even ask. I don't even have to ask. I'm pretty sure it would probably be in the 90%. And the rest of you, you probably don't have your kids because you shipped them off with the grandparents during spring break or something. But parents exhausted, right? It's a tiring thing. It is exhausting. And here's the crazy thing, is that you're exhausted because of some of the decisions that you make as a parent to try to give your kids everything that you think that they need. Look at this. God is talking to us in Psalm 127. And this passage is a reminder of who's in charge and a warning to us to not overdo it. And he begins like this. He said, without the help of the Lord, it is useless to build a home or guard a city. He doesn't say it's difficult. He doesn't say, you know what, it's exponentially harder to try to do this whole home thing without God. In fact, he doesn't even go so far as to say, you know what, it's almost impossible. He literally says, you are wasting your time. It is useless to attempt to do this without God. Because you're just going to be fighting your own bad stuff and their bad stuff and other people's bad stuff and circumstances. The only one that can hold this mess together is God. And so moms and dads, I just want to tell you something really, really quickly because I think this is so important and I don't think moms and dads hear this enough. Because there are times when you get so overwhelmed by your kids that you literally think to yourselves, maybe not out loud, maybe out loud, maybe you've written blog posts about it, I have no idea, but you literally think to yourself, I think God made a mistake. I think God gave me a kid that I cannot handle. This kid is crazy. I mean, literally crazy. Insane in the brain. They are nuts. I am this calm, reserved person, and they make me crazy. Trying to watch them and trying to discipline them and trying to do this. God, I think you have made a mistake by giving me this child. I love it when I hear parents and like the son or the daughter's being bad and like the mom looks at the husband and goes, would you take care of your son? Or the dad looks at the mom because the daughter has had a meltdown because the baby doll's head popped off or something like that. It's just like, and dad's like, would you take care of your daughter? Because we see our kids, we see us, I should say, in our kids, right? And so what happens is we begin to think, we go, God, why did you give me a mini me? Why did you give me a mini him or her? And you like, there must be a mistake somewhere. But I want to tell you something. Look at the end of this passage because this is so powerful. It is useless to get up early and to stay up late in order to earn our living. God takes care of his own even while they sleep. Children are a blessing and a gift from the Lord. Now, maybe you need to say that over and over and over and over again. You may be like, you are a blessing and a gift, and I love you to death. Children are a blessing and a gift from God. That means they came from God to you. Your kids are your kids because God intended it that way. He planned it that way. He gave you those children because you are the perfect parent for them. That's why they're there. So take a deep breath. You don't have to morph into someone else. Just be who God called you to be. Now, I know I always chuckle when parents have their first child, and usually it's around age 3, and they don't ever say it, or some people do, and it's just like you're asking for it then, but they said something like, I think we finally got this kid figured out. I mean, we've got him on a schedule, and he sleeps when we say to sleep, and eats when we say, I mean, we even have him a schedule in the bathroom. It's fantastic. And so they think this crazy thought, let's have another. Because we've got it figured out now. And then God doesn't give you the same kid, do they? Does he? No. If you've got a rambunctious, outgoing, you know, analytical child, I can guarantee you that number two is going to be a creative, emotionally driven, you know, crazy, blah, type of personality. It's just going to be. And here's the thing. The more kids you have, the more personalities you're going to have to deal with in the home. And the more you're going to be like, what's going on? If they're yours, they're given to you by God. I often see these shows where, you know, moms and dads have like 10, 12, 19 kids. And I'm like, how do you do that? How do you handle all those personalities in that home? How do you parent all of them? And I'm like, that's got to be God, because otherwise the parents would be schizophrenic trying to deal with all that. But here's the thing. It's useless to try to build the home without God. But here's the powerful truth that comes in after that. If God gave you those kids, if God believes that you're the right parent for those kids, then God is ultimately the one that's going to make it happen. God is ultimately the one who is going to shape them into the man or the woman that God has called them to be. You see, we have this mentality that we have got to do all this stuff for our kids. I'm amazed. I hear moms and sometimes dads talking. I see it sometimes. It's like, okay, we've got, you know, junior in Little League and karate, dance class, and we've got his sister in, you know, gymnastics, and then she's playing soccer, and then she's going to swim, and then she's this, and it's like running all over the place. Because there's this belief that the more stuff you can get them in, the better kid they're going to be. And you run ragged and exhausted. And that's where this passage comes in. It says, listen, it is useless to get up early in the morning, stay up late at night, because here's the belief. Here's the reason that we run ourselves ragged, because we believe it's up to us. We believe that ultimately everything that happens will be whether or not we allow them to do gymnastics, or whether or not we allow them to play baseball, or whether or not we allow them to do whatever. And so we run ourselves like crazy. There's something wrong, moms and dads, if that child that you're doing this for is in the back of your van crying, not wanting to go to practice. There's something wrong. Because the reality is, I'm just going to put it out there, I think a lot of the times we do that because we want to perpetuate the myth that we're the perfect parent. Don't buy into that. Because God is ultimately the one in control who will make it happen. So give yourself a timeout to calm down. Give yourself a timeout to rest. And really quickly, I want to address this just especially for those of you that stay home with your kids. I know that for several years, there's been this big thing out, you know, don't let your kids watch any TV. And if they watch TV, it rots their brains and, you know, makes them into serial killers. And, you know, every Disney movie has something behind it that's nefarious. And, all, you know, don't let your kids. I just... Real transparency. First of all, my daughter Caitlin just is finishing up her first year at IUPUI. She made the dean's list. My daughter Georgia, who's a sophomore, is an A honor roll student, and she's also a swimmer. And they watch movies as kids. They're like, oh, well, they would have been like Einstein if you hadn't let them do that. You know, they probably would, you know, be that much better. Listen, when our kids were little, like little, we would tell time in TV shows. You know what I'm talking about? So then you're like, okay, when's daddy coming home? One more Bear in the Big Blue House and he'll be home. By the way, if you've never seen Bear in the Big Blue House, best kids show ever. Fantastic. But anyways, and we would do that. Now listen, not constant. That wasn't TV babysitter, but you know what? When we needed a break, it was like, come here, kids. Here's some popcorn. Here's a half-hour TV show. Mommy and daddy are going to sit over here in a chair, and we're just going to close our eyes. We're not sleeping, because if we're sleeping, you might do something. We're just resting our eyelids for a minute. Because you know what? If you don't get that rest as a parent, you get cranky. And you start doing and saying things that you shouldn't do. Take a time out to rest. Take a time out to calm down. Take a time out to rest. Third, take a time out to connect. Take a time out to connect. Now, this is really where those of you that don't have kids can really, really come into play here. You can really help, because sometimes a mom just needs to go out with friends. Just needs to go out with friends and not talk about poopy diapers or spit up or anything like that. Sometimes a dad just needs to go out with some friends. And if you are a single parent, and we're going to talk about the marriage relationship here in just a minute, but I want to talk to you single parents because I want to tell you that I believe that as a single parent, you have probably one of the most difficult jobs on the planet. You are trying to do, a two-person job with one person. And so I want to tell you, first of all, that we as a church are here for you. We want to help you and support you. And if you know someone who is a single parent, one of the greatest things that you can do is give them time to be able to go connect with other men, to go connect with other women, whatever the case may be, so that they can have some adult conversation because they are literally immersed in it 24/7. They don't even get the break of husband or wife coming home where they can sit at the dinner table and talk with that. They're immersed in it all the time. And so if you are a single parent, I would challenge you at some point in time, take time out where you drop your kid off with somebody else or somebody comes to your home, whatever the case may be, where you can have a grown-up conversation with someone. Now, I do want to pause really quickly because I think this is very important, especially in our culture. If you have a child, your life has changed. If you have a child and you're a single parent, you know, running around like you're 18 years of age again or 15 years of age again and dating everybody and running around is probably not the best thing for you. You need to focus because you have that child now and you need to parent that child because that child is a gift from God that you need to watch over. Now, those of you who are married, I want to talk to you about the fact that oftentimes when kids show up on the scene, relationship priorities begin to shift. The Bible says that the first priority, the first relational priority is your relationship with God. It doesn't matter where you are or who you're from. Your first relational priority is with God. Your second relational priority is with your spouse. Your third is with your family. You go, well, my kids, they need me more than he or she needs me. Well, that may be technically true because I'm pretty sure your spouse can probably go to the bathroom without you, probably make their own cereal without you. But do you know what your kids need more than your constant attention? They need to see a mom and a dad that love each other. They need to see a mom and a dad that makes their marriage work. Not perfect. There's no perfect marriage, just like there's no perfect parent. But they need to see that it can work. In this day and age where divorce is rampant, they need to see that it's possible to have a right type of relationship. And what you exemplify before them will determine, think about this, what you exemplify before them will determine how they view all relationships going forward. That is why it's so important. Dads, the most important thing you can do is to love your wife in front of your kids. Let them see it. Moms, the most important thing that you can do is, the Bible says, respect your husband in the way that he's supposed to be respected and God says that they're supposed to do it. And when the two of you do that, I'll let you know a little secret. Parenting gets a whole lot easier because now it's a united front. Now it's not one against one. It's two against all of the rest, and you're still bigger, so it's all right. Time to connect, Mark 10, 6 through 9. But God made them male and female, husband and wife, man and woman, from the beginning of creation. God's intended plan, purpose was very intentional. It said man and woman. And it says, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one, so that they are no longer two but one. And let no one split apart what God has joined together, even the kids. It is really easy when the kids come along to shift your focus to everything kid-related. Husbands, wives, moms, dads, if you do that, you are setting yourself up for failure. Take time out to connect with the relationship that is only trumped by your relationship with God because that matters more. Because I'll let you know another secret. When the kids graduate and go off to college, it's just you and them. So you better keep the relationship fresh and the way it's supposed to be as you go long term. Time out to calm down. Time out to rest. Time out to connect, and finally, time out to refill. Time out to refill. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 says this: "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Does that sound like your last parent-child interaction? It's like, no. Patience, no. Kindness, probably not. Gentleness, it's a little rough on the gentleness part. You see, this is what God is calling us to be. This is what God said is his intended result in our lives when we stay close to God. And the Bible says, this is what's so amazing. Sometimes I've heard people talk about this. So you need to work on being kinder. It says that the Holy Spirit produces this fruit. Does it say you produce this fruit? It says the Holy Spirit produces the fruit. So the most important thing that you can do is not try to be kinder, but try to allow more of the Holy Spirit to take control of your life. Because as you allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your life, guess what happens? You become kinder. You become gentler. You become more patient. And by the way, don't ever pray for patience. You know what happens when you pray for patience, right? God gives you opportunities where you can learn how to be patient. God brings people in your life that you have to learn how to be patient with. Instead, say, I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to be connected with him. So you know what? There are times, moms and dads, where you just need to stop and you need to stay between you and God. Because remember, the most important relationship that you have in this entire world is your relationship with God. And if you will remain steady in your relationship with God, he will remain steady in his relationship with you. And he will fill you with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, meekness, all of those things that he says he wants to fill you with so that you can become that type of a parent to the kids that God gave you, because he needed you to be the one to watch over them, to help them become all that he's called you to be. But if you don't take that time out to refill, you are literally running on empty. And you wonder why you're ready to throw in the towel sometimes. And you're so overwhelmed. It's because you've not allowed that connection with Christ to stay strong. And by the way, just really quickly, ladies, I would challenge you. Our Rejuvenate, our big marquee ladies event that we do every single year is coming up here in several weeks. And their whole theme this year is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Just listening to him and allowing that connection to take place. So I encourage you, sign up today so that you can be a part of it. It is going to be awesome. Sometimes the best thing that you can do is to simply step away. And I want to wrap up with this passage of scripture. Isaiah 40. Verses 28 to 31. And the writer says this: "Have you not heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weary or weak. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even young parents will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." I don't need to ask. As parents, it's easy to get exhausted. But here's the cool part. The one who gave you those children is the very source of your strength. He is the one who will give you the understanding and the insight to parent those children the way that they need to be parented. Ultimately, he is responsible. He is the one who will determine their steps as they walk through life. But if you are willing to stay close and connected to Christ, he will give you the ability. You will not only not say those things that you're like, I can't believe that I said that, but you'll begin to say things and you're like, where did that come from? That was profound. I should tweet that. Because all of a sudden, God gives you a fresh understanding and a fresh strength to be able to be the mom and the dad, not perfect, but the mom and the dad that your child needs. Take the time to allow God to work in your heart. Father, we thank you so much. We are so unbelievably blessed that you gave us these kids. God, they stretch us, they challenge us, they cause us to question things and look at things in a different way, but God, they are such an amazing blessing as they work in us. They make us better. They challenge us to grow stronger, to dig deeper. And God, we are so thankful for these kids that you have blessed us with, that you gifted to us temporarily to stand in your place, to parent them the way that you have called us to parent them. God, I pray for every parent here today. It's easy to get to the point where you just don't even know which way is up. And I pray, God, that they would embrace this reality that it's okay to take a time out. It's okay to step away, to take a breath, so that they can do the right thing in the right way to help their children become who you've called them to be. God, I pray for every mom that's here who sometimes feels helpless and powerless and overwhelmed. I pray, God, that you would remind her that you are her strength. God, for every dad who feels maybe like he's flummoxed, like he doesn't know how to do this. And God, as a man, it's difficult to be in that position sometimes to not be able to know what to do. And I pray, God, that you would fill him with understanding, that he would lead his family the way that you called him to. And God, I pray for all the people that are here today who don't currently have kids in their home, that God, you would give them a love for moms and dads who just need a time out, that they would gladly, with joy, step in and say, no, you two need to connect. You need some time away to refill. And God, that this body of Christ would wrap around the families of this church, the moms and dads, to underscore, undergird, and lift them up. Because God, you love them, and we want to love them too. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.